Station number 5868, Hot in Mundy, Rail 59.
Roger, you know who this is, Hot in Mundy. I haven't made a tape now for almost 2 years, but when you came this morning, I thought tonight I'd try and fill in a few pieces that you wanted. Now, if you remember, we was talking about the old shoemaker down at this railway station where we talked about the placards on the wall. Well, now, I used to have to go down and collect that for him, but in between, every so often, he used to go to the tanneries at Königsberg and select the leather which he wanted. Now then, here's the tale I'm going to tell you. It so happened on one particular occasion, he said, I'm going to take you to Königsberg with me, and we'd just had our parcels then. Just previously, I'd had a new rig out from the Red Cross and the regiment, new uniform, new boots, new cap, all blue tunic, trousers with a stripe down. Used to look very smart, and it was all new. Well, this particular morning, when we was going there, I put it all on, looked very smart, and he took his niece with him. He'd got a niece staying with him, and she was a flash bit of stuff, and away we went. Now at the station, in those days, the third class compartments, there was no cushions whatever. But the first class compartments had cushions in. Now what I want to make you realise is this. Earlier at that prison at Instenberg, we were treated just like wild animals, down and out, starving, ragged, hungry, like wild animals. Now here's the difference. As I told you earlier, went from a tramp to a king, but that don't matter. Now here's the difference. We got into a first class compartment, not a third, with him and his niece, and away we went to Königsberg. That's the capital of East Prussia at that time. And when we got there at Königsberg, there was no taxis, of course. He had got a cab. Away we drove there in the cab towards the centre of Königsberg. And I always remember we went into a fairly big hotel on the corner of a street, went into the bar, and he called for drinks, got snaps for himself and his niece, got some beer for me, sat down, he just sipped the top and off his drink, went to the bar, got a key from behind the bar with a barman. He gave him a key from a board at the back of the bar, I always remember it, and away him and his niece went. Now, I didn't go to Sunday school without learning what that meant. And then after a little time, he came back. But during the while he was away, there were several men in the bar, which I noticed. They kept staring at me, wondering who I was, what I was, and me having a pair of brand new leather boots on. They couldn't quite understand that, because you couldn't buy leather boots in those days, not there. Well, now, when he came back, we had one or two more drinks, and away we went. We went down the main shopping centre of Königsberg, similar to Bond Street in London, all fancy shops, and they were practically all empty. There was one particular shop I noticed, just got a few ladies' dresses in, but they was enormous price. And another shop was a butcher's shop, and it looked marvellous to look through the window. There was a placard at the back of the shop showing all painted there with joints of pork and sheep hanging there and quarters of beef, but it was all painted. But only on the side was a board, a table there with a bit of meat on, very little, because everything was rationed and it was difficult to get. But anyway, we wandered off, and during we going up the street, every little while I had to walk in front. And every little while these two, him and his niece, kept looking in windows, and I'd gone on a bit, and he kept shouting out, "Englander, Englander." Well, blimey, I don't know. I got fed up with it, because as soon as he shouted "Englander," all the civvies kept staring round and looking. And after that, I kept one eye on them and kept close to them. We went from there down to the harbour, and he showed us some ships. He said, "These go to England in peacetime, merchant ships. I wish I could have got on one." But anyway, we had a look round there. Then he called a cab, and we went from there to a very prosperous part of Königsberg. And it was a large house we pulled up at with this cab. The door opened and there was a man came. I think he was sort of a footman or a manservant, whoever he was. Took us into this old gentleman inside, and he was a real old toff. But I'm sure, well, I know they was related. The old shoe boss and him was relatives. And I'd been carting a parcel about all the time. Well, I reckon inside the parcel, I didn't know, but they'd done a bit of fiddling and got butter, eggs and all sorts of stuff from the farm. Oh, blimey. Hello, that's getting late. And this parcel he handed over. Well, when we went in the room, they made a fuss of each other, this old gent on the old shoe boss and his niece. He made a fuss of her, and then he introduced me to him. And we sat down in this room, and he got a box of cigars, put them on the table. "Help yourself." I had a cigar. He made a fuss of me, shook hands, made a fuss. And then he was telling me about his business. And he said, "Would you like to see some of them things that I manufacture?" Well, it was cutlery, and he put a massive box on the table, and it was all sorts of cutlery, knives and so on. And he said, "Would you like one?" I said, "Yeah." So he said, "Take what you want." So I picked up a knife, and it was a lock knife. Well, now previously, just at that time, I was trying to organise a breakout, an escape. And I thought, well, a lock knife was the next best thing I could get. Well, I had that. Now, after a short time, we went out, got into a cab, and drove around and went to this man's private club. Now, it was a proper posh club, and what I noticed most, we went in, sat down, and the waiter there was a waiter, he came across, see what we wanted, got the drinks, brought the drinks back, put them on the table. But what I noticed was no money at all passed, and we sat there drinking. Hoppy and his niece was on snaps. I was having beer. And there wasn't a penny passed at all. And this is what I want to tell you. Straight opposite side of the room, it wasn't too great a room, and there wasn't a lot in it, but they was all top-notch businessmen. I could tell that. But there was one specially chap there, a well-built fella, and he kept staring at me all the blooming time. He kept his eyes fixed on me, and I looked at him, tried to stare him out and couldn't. And I kept dropping my head, and every time I looked he was staring. Well, now, eventually, that chap walked straight across the room to me. He put his hands out, put his hand out to me, and he said, Ich bist der Deutsche, du bist der Engländer. I said, ja, ja. And he shook hands and he held my hand ever so long and wouldn't let it go. Now, I thought since I've been old, got old, I'm blooming sure he was one of our agents planted there, because he'd wonder, sure to wonder, how the hell did a prisoner of war ever get in that sort of company? And he tested me in every way, but because I didn't know. And he carried on from that, and old Hoppy, I could see he was getting a bit sossed, and so was his niece, and he tried hard to persuade me to have snaps, but I said no, because I was frightened. I thought if I fall down and get picked up, a prisoner of war in a city, I don't know what would happen. So I kept within the limits. We went from there. Afterwards, it fetched a cab, drove us off, and we went to this tannery where all the leather was made. You know what I mean. And when we got in there, Hoppy, instead of looking at the leather as it laid out in sheets, he said to me, he says, you sort it out. He said, you pick it out. Well, I didn't know what to look for. I knew timber, of course, being a body maker, I knew what timber was. I thought, well, if there's any knots in it, it's no good. So I picked what I thought straight grain stuff. Well, we got that. We went out, loaded it, this lot, we loaded on a cab. We called a cab and away we went to the station. Now, on the way to the station, in this cab, it was some distance, because Hoppy fell asleep in the cab. And his niece, I think she was half sausage, she come and sat on my lap. I thought, oh, blimey. But anyway, it ended up we had a very good day out. And when we got back, I told old Juan Dumas what had happened. And oh, dear, didn't he laugh? He said, well, he said, I wish I could go again next time. But anyway, while I think of it, that knife that I had out of there, I still got. And I remember saying to this bloke, can I take one for me mate? And he said, yes. And I took one for him and all. That was for the other Frenchman that I was trying to organise an escape with. Well, I'll try now to carry on where I left off last night. After I'd got back from Königsberg with Hoppy, a week or two later, I was moved. I was sent to a large sawmill, a brand new built sawmill, a large one. The previous one, of course, had been knocked down by the Russians when they invaded into East Prussia. While this new sawmill had been rebuilt with prisoner of war labour, mainly Russians, of course. And when I got there, I was taken into a very small workshop. Now, this large mill, all the employees there, there was a crowd of them, they was all Russian prisoners. Now, I was the only Englishman there, or the only other nationality, as far as that goes. So it made me think, and I'm sure I'm right, that the old boy there had asked for me, because I was, of course, as you know, interpreter for our little mob, and I travelled about the village almost here, there, and everywhere. Well, anyway, when I got there, I was taken into this small workshop at the side, and there was all the equipment there, with a groin, small emery wheel grindstone and files and all the apparatus for saw sharpening. Well, that was my job. Now, the owner of the mill was an old, very old man, and the son, he was running the show himself. Now, the son had just came home prior to the outbreak of the war. He'd been an engineer in Brazil, in America, and had quite a good job, very prominent job. And he came home as the war broke out, and of course he was caught here and couldn't get back. But he wasn't caught up in the army, so he run the old show there. Well, him and I got on very well together. And in this little shop where I was, this little workshop, he used to come in and talk to me and talk about different things. And because the mill itself, all the timber, there was a large forest there, a very large forest. The timber, the logs, the tree trunks was brought down from the forest and running on trolleys into this mill, and all these Russians, they used to rip it down and plank it and stack it and so forth. You know the routine. But anyway, I won't bother about that. Now, this young, middle-aged German he was, we used to talk about all sorts of things, and I could talk fairly well German, nothing great, although I was interpreter for a lot. And he used to tell me all about the war, how it was going, what was happening, and I'm sure he knew more about the war than the average villager did. Well, we settled down there, and after a time, he said, why don't you come and live down here? He said, I'll fix you up. So he did do. And at the side, there was a brand new building at the side, which after the war was intended to be used as a flour mill as well as a sawmill. And he rigged me up at the top of this new building. There was a stove there. He had a bedstead fitted for me, and I'd got this stove, and with me parcels, Red Cross parcels, because I lived ever so well, and I had as much spuds as I wanted. Well, I used to brew up with me spuds and me Quaker oats and rice and me food. I'd done very well. I was getting on well. Well, now, here's a little tale. I don't know, I'm sure. Anyway, here's a little tale. You know, I told you about old Minna that I was pals with. Well, this little workshop that I got, the window was along the side of the road. Well, Minna used to very often, she couldn't leave me alone. I didn't want her to. And she used to come and tap the window, and we used to have a chat. Now, here's a bit of a laugh. She come one day and we had a natter through the window, and could I get out at night? So I said, oh, blimey. I said, well, I'll see. But anyway, I did. I said, all right, we'll fix it up. Well, now, right at the top of this mill, where they was going to have it, that just outside the place where I was sleeping, there was a long girder leaded right out onto the road, and of course in peacetime afterwards there would be pulleys put along there to load or unload flour on from the mill. Well, this long girder stood out, so I said to Minna, I said, all right, wait, we'll fix it up, and when it's dark I'll come out. Well, this particular night there was a door led out onto this girder, and I had scrounged a rope in the mill, and a long rope, and I towed this rope around the girder, and a minute I looked out, opened this door, and looked down where this girder was, and Minna were down below, and I said, all right, I'll tow it. I got the rope, I tied it round the girder, and I slid down, away we went. And we went some distance along the road. There were no edges, of course, there was ditches along the side of the road, and old Minna and I were having a right row do, and along come the village policeman, and all hell. He must have knew it were me, or knew who I was, because we just said, nope, you know, good night, and away he went. Well, now, that old policeman, when I was starving in the village, I got to know him very well, because of a Sunday morning, he'd got a couple of pigs. Well, that was out of all proportion of a pig, but anyway, he got a couple of pigs, and he used to send for me to the lager to go down and boil up the spuds, a load of these little taters, pig food, and that. I used to go down Sunday morning and boil these taters up for the old boys' pigs. I think I eat more than the pigs did, but that don't matter. So I reckon the old boy knew who I was, but anyway, nothing happened of it, and oh, blimey, away I went back. I was frightened to death. We went back, me and old Miller went back to this sawmill, and I fidgeted and I looked and got there. The rope was still hanging down. I said to Miller, I said, oh, well, I got out of this rope, and I reckon I shut up that rope quicker than a monkey would. And away I went in, shut the door, and that was the end of that little updo. Well, as time went on, this young German boss, or middle-aged chap, he used to come in, sit and have a chat, tell me all about Brazil, where he was, what his employment was. He was a big bug out there in the engineering world. Tell me how he was friendly with some British people there, and he thought quite a lot of the English. He spoke ever so well of them. And he used to tell me all about it, what happened out there. And he kept me right up to date with the happenings in Germany. How things was, the starvation, the people, no food, down and out, and on the point of a revolution, which very shortly after actually happened. And he told me then about it. Kaiser, of course, he abdicated, he opted, he went into Holland, of course, as you know from history. Told me all about that, and then finally he told me that it had finished. That was him that told me. He said, you take a walk down the village, have a look in the post office, and you'll see it there, which as I've told you about before, the telegram. Well, then he said, of course, he said, now it's all over. He says, I'm going back where I came from, back to Brazil. He says, and will you come with me? He said, I'd love to take you with me, he says. You'll have a good job. He said, I'll look after you. He said, in fact, he said, you'll be same as I am almost. And he begged me to go back. I said, no. Or so shan't, because I wanted to come home. But anyway, he said, look, he said, now he said, I'll tell you finally, if you'll come back with me, he said, now the war's finished, he said, you, instead of going back home, he said, you can come and live with me in my home here, with him and his parents. He said, you can stay here, he said, no, and come back to America with me. I said, no. Well, he said, on my way back, he says, when I go through the channel on the way back to America, he said, I'll wave me hand, he says, to England and think of you. I thought that was a very nice thought. Well, that was the end of the whole affair. Of course, now you've asked me to sort things out a bit. Well, of course, from now, you've already got the tapes, haven't you? You know, to follow on from there, as you said, when we went back to the lager and had a binge up and a wind up and so on from there to Reelsburg. Well, now, you spoke, according to what I heard you read, you know, when you was here yesterday, was it yesterday? Anyway, don't matter. When you was telling me about Reelsburg and what happened in the camp there, this large Russian camp, and how we went away and back to Danzig. Well, now, I believe you wanted me to tell you what happened when we got on the hospital ship at Danzig and going from there back to England, and then you followed the tail, if I remember right what you said. We followed the tail then from when I got back to Bradwell again with old Sid Carroll and me old mates. Well, now, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll try and fill that in for you if I can, but for the time being, I just felt my old clock, you know, the braille clock, and I reckon my half hour's nearly up. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do now, just for a bit of a lark. You know, I told you about what was said at the Albert Hall, what the British Legion say at the end of the service, every year at the churches, Albert Hall and everywhere. Now, I know what, I've thought it over, and I know what's said, so I'm going to say it now. You can do what you like with it. Now, I'm sure I'm right when I say it. Now, let me think. I'll say it right in a minute. Now then. Oh, I know. They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. Remember who? I leave that for you to judge. Now, I don't know whether the tape's run out or not, but anyway, I said that in case, I don't know. Don't know how long I'm going to last out, but if you want to use that as a tape recording, I don't know how it'll sound, but I've tried it. So I think that's about time, must be run out. Good night.